Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Cryptids in Your Backyard. This is a podcast about cryptids, paranormal activity, and anything that is strange and or unusual. So if you've had something strange and or unusual happen to you, please contact us at the Cryptids in Your Backyard on Instagram, the Cryptids in Your Backyard on Facebook, or the Cryptids in Your Backyard at mail.com. We would love to hear your story and share it with others. And with me tonight are my co-host, Ella Jameson.
Hi.
And Molly Jameson.
Hello.
And we have some super awesome and scary stories to share with you tonight. But first, how's everybody doing?
Good. How are you?
Tired.
Yeah, me too.
Been working a lot. Oh. Summertime is here. The days are long, so you work from the time I wake up until the time I go to bed. And we have Biscuit here.
Say hi.
For those of you who don't know, Biscuit is our cat, one of many cats that we have. And Ella is tormenting him.
I am not. I'm giving him lovings. That's him saying hi.
That's him saying hi?
Yeah, that's him saying, let me go.
Ella, how was your week?
Good.
What did you do?
Work.
You worked all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Friday to Sunday.
Friday to Sunday, yes.
I worked Saturday to Monday.
Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Mm-hmm. And Wednesday.
And Wednesday. But not Thursday. Did you work Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you work at Thursday?
Of 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I picked you up. Mm-hmm. I remember now. It's all coming back to me.
Biscuit left.
I worked all week. And then worked the weekend. But not with you. I didn't work yesterday, Father's Day. Yeah. I took Father's Day off and just lounged around, watched the new Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I wasn't there.
Took a nap. Working. You were working, yeah.
I was there. I just was in my own world.
Yeah. I took a nap. Oh, I went and hung out at the Artisan. Mm-hmm. Had some coffee with Grandma. My mom.
Oh, yeah. I gave her a muffin.
Yep. Well, you were working.
I served.
And you were working.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it was very nice.
And Dash was working.
And we just sat in the couch and lounged.
Yep.
Anything else going on besides work?
Chilling.
Chilling. It is summertime.
Yep.
Nobody has school right now. Just work.
Uh-huh.
Just focusing on work.
Bought a new computer.
Oh, you did? Yeah, you got a new computer. How is it?
I haven't set it up yet.
You still haven't set it up?
No, not really.
When are you going to set it up?
I mean, I started setting up, but I need internet. I need to go to the Artisan.
You need to set up at the Artisan, yeah. For those of you who don't know, we live out in a rural area in the mountains of western North Carolina. That's the Appalachian Mountains, where lots of strange and unusual things happen. And I have some good stories from somebody that I met who is, I didn't see him this Saturday. He wasn't working. I met him at the transfer station where we take our trash and they transfer it to the main trash. But I talked to him several times, but he shared some good stories with me. Oh, there goes Kat. But anyways, I have some interesting UFO news today. That is very
interesting
strange.
And
it's
unusual.
Strange and unusual. It is.
Stay
actually,
strange and unusual, friends.
I couldn't get this whole article. I had to take screenshots of it. But it is by Real News, No BS. And the title is The Canadian Government Shares. Well, the title is Heavily Underreported. The Canadian Government Shares UAP UFO information with the United States government. And here is the article, what I could get. In a pair of letters sent from Canada's Natural Resource Department and the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, Deputy Minister of Natural Resources, John Hannaford wrote, given the shared priority for nuclear safety and security of nuclear facilities and the growing interest in UAPs in both Canada and the United States. I gotta find it. In both Canada and the United States, the CNSC is committed to raising the issue with its United States counterpart and sharing any related information going forward. I will post a copy of the letter on our Instagram. I'll probably put it in stories, but I'll also post it so that you can go back and find it. You know, if like a year down the road and you're listening to this episode and you want to look it up for all of the new listeners that are going to be coming on in the following months or year. I mean, there's more every day, but just flooding. Flooding. So I'll post a picture of the letter. I couldn't get the complete second letter. Hanford continues by saying, "We have reached out to counterparts in the United States Department of Energy regarding the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, primarily report on UAPs to learn more about its perspective in order to help inform an analysis and action in Canada." So it sounds like Canada really wants to team up with the United States on these UAP issues, right? Especially when they start involving the nuclear safety programs of UAPs and stuff. So it's really quite interesting. Canada seems to have a lot of stuff going on up there.
We don't mess with Canada. We don't mess with Canada.
Well, no.
That's good.
No, we don't. We're friendly. Canada's pretty friendly, you know?
True.
They're pretty friendly folks.
They're a friendly neighbor.
It's our neighbor to the north, eh? But yeah, so that
Sorry for any Canadians that are listening.
Yeah.
My bad dog.
Sorry, eh? But you can check out the Real News No BS website. But to get the article, they want you to subscribe to their news station. So I was trying to screenshot it all before it kicked me out.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to subscribe to it. Not that I don't want to. I think that the Real News No BS is a good news source. It's an up-and-coming news source.
Yeah.
And I think they're really cool. It's supposed to be like a non-biased type. But they're really good. They do seem to report a lot. You can follow them on Instagram. And they put a lot of stuff on Instagram. That's where I first saw this. Okay. And in other UFO news, I do have a couple more articles here. That, let me pull one up. Okay, that's not you. You're done. Aha! Now, this is really top-of-the-line news. I don't see who it's from on here, but it was posted June 17th, 2022. Posted by the admin. The title is just news. Four-legged dark alien creature caught on camera by Opportunity Mars rover. Okay, now it's got some pictures, so I'll share them on the Instagram, on the old gram. Here comes a car going by. Oh, it's our neighbors. Hello, neighbors.
Hi.
That we never see in person, but they just drive by. We just so you know, we are sitting outside recording this right now, and it is so gorgeous out. It's amazing, isn't it? The river is like glass. We can see it from our front porch, our deck. But here we go. Four-legged dark alien creature caught on camera by Opportunity Mars rover. The picture wasn't edited or altered either, as NASA themselves reported on it and even uploaded it to their official website. The picture was taken by their Opportunity rover on Mars. And as you can see, it showcases the fact that there is life on Mars. Okay, so the original picture shows kind of like this black object in the background. Ooh, you guys see it?
That's weird.
But when you when they got up close to it,
has legs.
It looks like it has legs. So I'm assuming if I didn't read the article from NASA, or I didn't look to see if it was on their website, but I'm assuming they're going to say that it's a rock. The question has been going around for ages now, as Mars is in fact considered, even by NASA, to be the planet with the most likely chance of actually having life on it to begin with. So what are we really seeing in this picture? Experts believe that we're looking at over here is an animal similar to a typical black bear. I mean, it's dark in color. From our planet, the similarity with wolves were also drawn regarding it. What's certain about it? It's not a shadow, as you can clearly see. The fact that its outline shines through and its protruding legs are clearly defined enough to look real. For the most part, a lot of skeptics tried to say that this is just the dreaded pareidolia effect, and that we were looking at it over here is actually just a shadow cast by some sort of nearby rock. It doesn't look like a shadow.
No.
You see it, Molly?
It is fully like off the ground.
It looks like a dog.
It looks like it's casting a shadow.
It looks like a pig that is a dog.
It looks like a pig that is a dog that's a bear.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's also kind of a lizard.
Oh, yeah. Look at it. And there's like... Eyes. Yeah, I'll post these pictures on the gram so you can see them. This is completely false, as the creature, whatever it may be, actually does cast a shadow of its own to the right of itself, which provides that it's there and not just a trick of the light. And that's it. So I'll post these pictures on the Instagram for everybody to check out, and you can give us your thoughts. Just leave a question or leave your remarks in the, just leave a remark on the pictures. Okay. I got one more story for you. Okay. Now, I thought this one was interesting. Pentagon. Here comes a loud truck. Oh, it's our neighbor. It's our other neighbor. I'm surprised how quiet the road is tonight.
Yeah.
Because it's been so busy, but that's good.
Yeah.
I don't think the computer or our studio, our fancy computer studio, can pick it up anyway. Okay, so anyway, here is another story. Pentagon, time travel is real and we can visit other worlds.
Wowzer.
Okay. According to documents released by the Pentagon, time travel and anti-gravity technologies may be available to humans and could help us visit other worlds. The recent declassification of 1,500 files sheds light on the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, ATIP, which was a secret Pentagon UFO program. Its publication was made possible after a 4-year legal battle following a Freedom of Information request from The Sun. Is this article by The Sun? This article is by New Zunit. And it came out June 18th. One of the papers discusses how anti-gravity technology can be used to create airships and spacecraft, stating that the effects can be achieved by manipulating space-time. How to manipulate gravity is also discussed in the report. It may be possible to create exotic phenomena such as faster than light travel and time machines. Dun, dun, dun. It also adds that wormholes in space-time can be used for interstellar travel. The documents, which The Sun called the bombshell, were released by the U.S. State Department of Defense Intelligence Agency. These include plans to send multiple single-pilot spacecraft to colonize deep space, as well as research into how humans can control robots with their minds. It has been found that a person cannot fly more than 4 spacecraft, but in the paper, scientists wonder if our brains can be developed to enhance this ability. The ATIP has been in operation since 2007 and is headed by Luis Elizondo, who believes that the existence of UFOs have been proven beyond reasonable doubt. Elsewhere in the report, The report explores nuclear-powered rockets and spacecraft will allow us to build bridges over the layers of icy objects surrounding the sun to find other Earth-like planets. Also in the document, it's information on how we can communicate with aliens, as well as a study on the health impact of people who have encountered aliens or seen UFOs. Although the project has since been scrapped, Pentagon officials admitted last year that there have been around 150 UFO reports from military pilots since 2004. It further includes abductions and unwanted pregnancies of civilians. Unwanted pregnancies. So people are getting pregnant by aliens. And they don't want to be pregnant by aliens.
Yeah,
that sounds drastic.
With you?
No. I don't want to be pregnant at all. But that's it for that story. So
which
we wrap that
I'm
up.
Next.
Now slow down. Just cool your jets. Okay?
So excited.
So what do you think about this? Time travel is real. Do you think all this is true that these were in those documents? I know a lot of it was, but since then they also came out and said that it said 150 reports. Now it's up to 400 reports of UFOs, unwanted pregnancies, and other things.
Interesting.
It is quite interesting. Very much so. It's so strange. It's hard to say, well, this is just a gimmick. People are making this stuff up to sell newspapers. But are you sure? Are you sure that it's just a gimmick?
No.
No. It could be true. I mean, it could all be true. I don't know.
But it could all be false.
It could all be false.
Who knows?
We could be living in a whole nother dimension. We could be like the Matrix. We could be laying in some pod somewhere with our brains hooked up and our minds going to a machine.
Or we could be like in Horton Hears a Who, and we could be a speck on a little flower, and an elephant is carrying us around.
I don't think that's true, because we discovered space and other planets and galaxies and all that.
The sky is the limit.
I think that's pushing it.
Horton Hears a Who is based on a true story, okay?
Is it based on actual facts that never happened?
Yes. No.
It's based on actual facts that never really took place.
Actual facts that did. You know that sticker at the Edison that says, believe in yourself even when nobody else does?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I believe I went to Ohio.
Okay, read us your story.
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm not talking about you going to Ohio again.
I didn't really fully read the story, so this is new to me too.
Oh my goodness.
But I didn't know. I've read a few sentences and said, okay, I got it.
This is the story that I'm picking out.
Okay. It starts with this.
Go, start it, start it. Go, go.
This is about the Helen's Bridge.
Oh my gosh, we already covered this.
Oh, well, I
shared this. Helen's Bridge, I talked about it several times. But go ahead and share your story.
Anyways, Helen's Bridge. If you live in Asheville, North Carolina, you know all about the Helen's Bridge.
Yeah, I do. Also, from Dad's podcast, from this podcast. I know this story from the cryptids in your backyard.
Molly? Hold on. Also, know the story of how it got its name. Want to plan a trip there in the future? Not only is it a vibrant place filled with fun activities, but it's also a place where you can go on some pretty interesting ghost hunts. It's been said that the Helen's Bridge has been haunted for nearly 100 years. Learn the story about Helen's Bridge and the strange paranormal activity said to have happened here. Early years. Helen's Bridge was constructed in 1909. Did you know that, Dad?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I was there.
No, you weren't. Are you a vampire?
No, I go out there in the sunlight. Time travel.
It was designed to connect the nearby Zeelandia mansion to the roadways, connecting the rest of Asheville. The stone bridge was mentioned to in Thomas Wolfe's novel, Look Homeward, Angel. The Zealandia mansion was occupied at the time by a local politician named John Evans Brown. He later sold the home to an Australian architect and scholar named Philip S. Henry. After Henry's passing, he
bequeathed?
Yeah. The mansion to his family.
He bequeathed the mansion to his family. Did he leave it to his family?
Yeah. Where they lived until the 1960s. As of today, the Zealandia Mansion Service is a historical museum. The main door and even the bridge faced the possibilities of the demolition. Yes, to build an interstate through parts of Asheville.
They did.
However, local advocates lead the charge to deny such projects from happening. Since then, the property faces no danger of being torn down.
Yeah, the property's still there. You can still drive to the bridge. You can drive under it. Mm-hmm. People do it all the time.
Yeah. The Zealandia Mansion was built in the 1908. It was actually the newly rebuilt version of the home with the same name built 20 years prior from John Evans Brown. Brown had spent some time in California during the Gold Rush and later in New Zealand. After returning to Asheville, he built the original Zealandia Mansion and lived there until his wife's passing. Oh, where was I?
Lived there until his wife's passing.
Yeah. The home is a Tudor style home and stands well over 3 stories tall. When Philip Henry purchased the home, he managed to get some renovations done, including constructing a museum, which has since been there torn down. Those who have visited Asheville had often called Zealandia a castle on the mountain, and it's easy to see why that is. In 1977, Zealandia was listed in the National Register of Historic Places. Today, locals are maintaining making sure that the Zealandia still stands strong in all of its majesty, despite the threats of being torn down in the past. Before you ask, is the Zealandia mansion haunted? Unfortunately, it's not, but you don't have to go too far to find some ghost. The death of Helen.
Mm-hmm. Bum, bum, bum.
Helen was a woman in her mid-30s who said she had moved to Asheville to start a new chapter in her life, along with her infant daughter. While cooking, a large fire broke out very quickly. Helen rushed to her child's room but failed to escape after passing out from the smoke inhalation. While firefighters were able to rescue Helen, they were unable to do the same with the child. After waking up to the news of her child's death, Helen's heartbreaking downward spiral started. She battled severe depression for several weeks. The pain became too great to bear for Helen. It was later on when Helen decided to take a walk in the woods upon coming across the bridge New Zealandia mansion and hung herself from one of the steel posts. Rumored alternative stories.
These are just rumors or alternative stories that could have happened.
While the story of Helen's suicide may have been linked to her child's death, it's been said that there may have been an entirely different story that may have led to her suicide. One such story was that Helen had been living at the Zealandia mansion for a time. Some say that she did indeed kill herself, but for a very different reason. It was said that she was having an affair with someone and was pregnant with his child. After being rejected by the mystery man, Helen was so distraught that she decided to end her life rather than give her child a chance to live. Whether Helen was married at the time or could not face the shame of being an unwed mother, her untimely death seems to be shrouded in mystery even to this day. Apparent hauntings and paranormal activity. Today, Helen's Bridge has become a frequent spot for paranormal investigators and fans alike. It's been said that some of people believe that Helen's ghost might still be hanging around the bridge. However, others have said that Helen herself was seen frantically looking for her child, who would soon vanish without a trace. Some have said that she'll wander around for a bit and talk about the tragic day when she lost her daughter. People who had driven through the bridge have recalled dealing with car trouble despite no prior symptoms. Issues like drain batteries, engine stalling, and other mechanical issues were said to be reported. However, people who come to the bridge to summon the spirit would also experience car trouble as they leave the bridge. Mm-hmm. Either way, this activity is often commonplace in this part of Asheville. Others who have passed through the bridge while walking had seen a shadowy figure moving back and forth from the corner of their eyes. Also, the sound of screams was said to be heard from the distance. Summoning the spirit. Though it may sound like some kind of dark spell, it is said that the spirit of Helen can appear if you were to visit the bridge at night and repeat her name 3 times. It is said that even when done properly, she may never even show up. But some strange sounds or happenings, like car trouble, may still be occurring. If you ever go to Helen's Bridge, you might want to do this at your own risk. Even though Helen is a relatively harmless spirit, who knows what else could happen if you even attempt summoning her. Can you visit the bridge?
Yes, you can.
Yes. Rumors have said it that the bridge is said to be off limits, but that is something to take with a grain of salt. However, if you are in Asheville, it might be wise to check the appropriate city officials to see whether it is accessible. If it is, then any time would be a good time to check out the bridge for yourself. If you dare, you can go at night and try your hand at summoning Helen. It is advised that if you are in Asheville, you might want to travel by foot unless you are looking for potential car trouble. Also, you might want to go with a couple of friends. The idea of making a solo trip seems uncomfortable enough for you, especially during the late night hours. And in conclusion, Helen's Bridge still stands today after 100 years and a terrible tragedy, but it might be one of the most haunted and most interesting spots in Asheville. If you ever want to explore the mountains and beautiful city, just know that you are not short. I know I'm not, obviously. Of any adventures of paranormal kind.
Whether
you do see the spirit of Helen or not, checking out the bridge itself is something you want to cross off your list of things to do. But don't let Helen's Bridge be the only place to check out if you are a paranormal fan. We know of plenty of other places all throughout Asheville you want to check out. Any ghost hunter will tell you that you can't just rely on one spot to find paranormal activity. Done.
Wow. That was a great story. So yeah, I had a friend of mine was driving underneath Helen's Bridge when she thought something fell off the bridge. It was a person and was going to hit her car. And she went right through it and actually stopped to get out and look to see what happened, and nobody was there, and she was freaked out. So that's happened. And there's other stories that people have told me. Molly, do you have a story?
Mm-hmm.
What say you?
I have.
How'd you feel about Helen's Bridge? We gotta go and see it. Like, we've been to Asheville so many times.
I don't know why we haven't.
I don't know.
We've probably driven past it like multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's right there off the highway.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, you know where you know where it looks like they cut the mountain to put the highway through it? That's where it's at. That section over there.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really neat. I mean, yeah, we gotta go. Go on a ghost tour. I'm sure they take us by there. Or just go there. I think we should go there. Just with an EMF reader.
The Ouija board. No. You wanna buy one?
No.
Why not?
No, because they're dangerous.
Yeah, talk to Pasha about it.
Yeah. Yeah, talk to Pasha about it.
And you'll see what she says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, you have a story?
I have a story at App State.
App State? But you're going to be going there.
Yeah. Well, good thing I'm not going to be living in this hall. It's about a hall being haunted.
The whole hall or just a hallway?
I think the whole building.
The whole building. Which building is it?
East Hall.
East Hall.
Yes.
Hmm.
It's an older building.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you're staying in a brand new building.
Yeah, about it's pretty brand new building.
It's pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
It's not brand new, but
it's pretty new.
Yeah.
So the story begins in the early 1960s when Appalachian State was still Appalachian Teachers College. So this was when it was still just a teachers college. East Hall is U-shaped and built into the side of a steep hill. And consequently, two of the wings have three stories, while the oldest wing in the building has five. It's on the lowest level of the five-story wing, a level known as the basement.
The basement.
That a young student tragically took her own life. The cause of her suicide is not remembered. Maybe it was an unhappy love affair. Maybe it was just the endless doom boon winters getting her down. Whatever the reason, one morning her body was discovered hanging from a long silk scarf in the basement restroom.
Wow.
Ever since then, the whole old wing of East Hall has been a center of strange and unnatural activity.
Oh my goodness.
Students living in the East Hall report hearing faint whispered voices when walking in the hallways.
What are they saying?
I don't know. They're whispering, so they can't hear. When students have said that they've woken in the middle of the night to see strange balls of light hovering near the ceiling of their dorm rooms.
What are you doing?
You guys can't see this, but Ella's being weirdo. There's at least one report of a student being pushed over by the ghost.
Oh.
The young man
said that would make it an intelligent haunting.
Oh, I didn't know.
Not a residual haunting, right?
I don't know.
Because I think Helen's Bridge, I think that is an intelligent haunting.
Mm-hmm. Where she messes with you?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The young man said that he was walking on the third floor of East Hall on his way to the bathroom when he said he heard a voice coming from nowhere and saying something that sounded like my dorm. As soon as this happened, he experienced what felt like a hand pushing against his forehead and said that his legs kept moving forward, but his head was being held in place and he toppled over backwards. But the strongest presence of the spirit seems to be in the basement, particularly in a narrow room that joins the bathroom where the young woman died. Many students have reported feeling unusually cold spots when moving through the basement. Others have reported being alone in one of the basement rooms but feeling a strong sense of presence, as if there was someone else in the room with them. Many students have also reported seeing a strange glowing blue mist in the basement, roughly the size of a human being.
Yeah, wow.
That's interesting.
A blue mist roughly the size of a human being.
This glowing mist is said to be seen moving through the basement, passing through walls, and always returning to the small bathroom that was always the scene of the tragedy. An intense feeling of anger is said to be accompanying the appearance of this mist. Interesting.
Yeah.
Whatever is inhabiting East Hall, it seems to be having an effect on everyone who lives there. East...
what? You see something?
It seems... I don't know, he just ran.
Yeah.
And then, look! Yuki's like, oh, it's okay, Fluff, I got you.
He's growling.
Alright, carry on.
Whatever is inhabiting East Hall, it seems to be affecting everyone who lives there. East Hall has a reputation for being a hotspot for student breakdowns and mental health problems. Students who live in the dorm exhibit a bizarre variety of eccentric and even psychotic behaviors. The campus mental health services keep a quiet watch on the students in this dormitory and is always on the lookout for the first signs of someone going east. They call it going east.
Huh.
Must go south.
Interesting.
Don't go east.
And that's at the end of the story.
Or north.
Or wow. West. That's a pretty interesting. Are you going to check it out when you go there?
Yeah.
You'll have to befriend somebody that lives there.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, take me to the basement.
Well, I'll just walk into the basement.
Yeah.
See some blue mist? Shaped as a human?
Blue mist.
And then I was also, I don't know if I can find it. Let me see if I can. I was looking on Reddit and someone asked, so is East Hall haunted? And this person commented saying they've lived there for 2 years and they've always felt something.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's whack.
And they, like, they said that, they, like, pictures that they hang on the wall will shift, and that, they just wake up randomly. Or, and they find doors being wide open and all sorts of stuff.
When they were closed, and, wow. It's very strange.
But then this one, this other person said, it's just a really old building with strange plumbing systems.
TBH. It is old.
But but then they said, I mean, the dorm even looks like it could be used as a set for a horror movie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and then someone said, the scary thing is there isn't AC or elevators.
It's five stories?
Yes.
Some of the floors are three?
Yeah.
Well, I want to, if you're not going to the basement all the time, you're...
Yeah.
I am.
Are you?
That's why I'm going to get a Ouija board. And
you're not getting a Ouija board and going to the basement. You're asking for trouble. Trouble!
What's wrong with getting a Ouija board?
It's trouble. They're trouble. That's why.
Why? Will the spirit come and kill you? You want to mess with the wrong spirit.
Lots of strange things can happen.
And then here's another story about East Hall. When App State was still a teacher's college, an old lady owned the plot of land where East Hall was later built. She told her children, no matter what, when she died, to not sell the land to the school. But then after she died, her children sold it to the school.
Like, heck yeah, we'll sell you this land. We want the moolah.
And then East Hall was built.
Right.
And so legend has it that her spirit is also the one that is haunting that.
Oh, so somebody didn't commit suicide. It's her haunting
spirit.
Well,
someone might have committed suicide, but maybe her spirit was the one who was haunting beforehand. Maybe there was hauntings beforehand, but
no one really talked about it. I see. It's quite interesting. Those are some really good ghost stories. Helen's Bridge is always a great story. And I've actually know people that have been harassed there. There's another way of summoning the ghost over at Helen's Bridge. If you go there and taunt her.
Make jokes about her child?
Yes. Yeah. Here he's back. Yeah, I make jokes about her child or taunt her and be like, you couldn't save your child. She'll come out angry. So, I wouldn't advise people on doing that.
What if you, like, say good stuff about her child? Will she come anyways? But in a happy mood?
Yeah, what if you were like, I don't know.
What if you're like, you tried your best.
You tried your best. I'm so sorry, Helen. You couldn't save her. That would be the way to go.
That would be. Not being like, boy, you could not do it.
Yeah. Well, you probably wouldn't be like, boy, you couldn't do it. You might be like, Helen couldn't do it. maybe you could write a song. But I think the later way is the way to go.
Yes.
Be nice, say nice things, and maybe she'll show herself. Because I know somebody that was physically attacked after taunting Helen. Okay, so I'll tell you the stories that the guy at the transfer station told me. Now he's old, 65 to 70, I would say. He's lived in Hot Springs, Spring Creek area his whole life. And the way this conversation happened was a course of just a few weeks of me going there.
Mm-hmm.
First, I was going there, befriending, you know, just being cordial. Hey, how's it going? How are you? I'm doing good. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Being polite. And then it was one day, because I have the Bigfoot stickers on the back of my car, mm-hmm. and he asked me if I believed in Bigfoot. And I was like, yeah, I do. And he says, yeah, there's probably lots of strange things. He's like, I've heard stories, you know, from when I was a kid, and so forth. And so we talked about that for a few minutes. And then the next time I show up, which was not this past weekend, but the weekend before, he was like, he asked me, he goes, what do you think you would do if you ever came across one? And I was like, I really don't know. I would probably leave the scene. I'm not, I have, you know, everybody has that fight or flight in them. I'm more of a flight. So if you're with me, I may just push you down and run away. Just kidding. I would protect my children.
I'm sure everybody was safe.
I know you would.
Yeah.
But make sure everybody was safe. But yeah, I would leave the scene. Hopefully when I have my Bigfoot encounter, it will be a nice peaceful one. I will see something off in a distance, but be able to tell that it's a Bigfoot, get out my phone, take a video, and then it's going to turn and see me. And then I'm going to run. Then I'm going to turn and run, and we'll be chased out of the forest again. Well, last time we were chased out by coyotes, but that's another story.
We've told this story on here.
I think I have, yeah. Probably the same time when we talked about Helen's Bridge. You know, so people just have to listen to our older episodes.
Yep. Last episode I did the Pink Lady. That's two Asheville hauntings I did.
Yeah. Yep. Both from local areas.
Yep.
And okay, so carrying on about this man. Okay, so his first story that he told me, he asked me if I believed in UFOs, and I said, yes, I do. And he goes, he asked me if I've ever seen one, and I said, no, but a friend of mine shared a story with me, which I'm hoping to get him on the podcast. That happened to him a few weeks ago, yada, yada, yada. And so I told him the story, and then he said, well, this happened to me about 4 or 5 years ago. He used to work second shift in an electric shop. So I'm assuming he worked in either Weaverville or Asheville, but he said he would come home, and you know how it is going up Spring Creek.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your car in low, climbing up the mountain. No, it's not too bad of a climb up there, but it's so windy. And he said, now it has 300 and something curves on it, Spring Creek Road 209,
mm-hmm.
when you go through the whole thing. So it is that curvy of a road. So many curves. But he tried to explain to me where this curve was, where all this took place. And he goes, well, you know that curve over by that lookout? I don't know. There's lookouts. There's curves. And he goes, so I was going up. It's about midnight. And he said the light to the left of me, which is the valley side, but I'm assuming he was further up because his road was on the left-hand side, which would have been heading in that direction. He said it lit up like it was daytime.
Mm.
And I said, wow.
That's interesting.
And he said, and I looked, and there was a craft in the sky. It was round. It had small round lights going all the way around the perimeter of it. And in the center, It had one big bright light. And he said it just lit up that whole side of the mountain like it was daytime. And I said, really? And he said, yep. And he said that he was driving up, trying to keep his eye on the road, trying to watch what's going on to the left of him. And then he was trying to pay attention to that. He missed his turn, right? So he goes forward a little bit more than he should have. Stops, puts his car in reverse, and as he's backing up, he just sees this thing shoot off. It's gone. Mm. He said, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. He said he hasn't told too many people that story because he didn't want to be made fun of. So I was glad he shared it with me. And then he said, I got one more story for you. He said the second story took place when he was a boy of 10. So I'm going to say about 55. I mean, if he's 65, it had to be about 55 years old, 55 to 60 years ago, the story took place. Now, do you know somebody that lives out there off of Meadow Fork? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give the intersection because I don't want people going there. Well, I don't know if people want to go there. What are you going to see? The house is tore down. It's Meadow Fork and Roaring Fork was the street, that intersection. You know where Roaring Fork is, too. His grandparents used to live there. And during the wintertime, of course, we used to get a lot more snow in this area. And he said that him and his two brothers and a couple friends would take an actual car hood, but an old car hood, like from the 40s, with one of the hoods that scooped up. He said we all five of us would fit in it. And he said we'd walk quarter mile up the mountain and we would sled down. And I said, wow. And he said, well, one day we're sledding down. And he goes, the barn is still standing, but it was at his grandparents' house. The grandparents' house has since been torn down. He said, one day they were coming down, sledding down. And he said, sitting on top of the barn was a dinosaur. I was like, a dinosaur? He goes, it was smooth. Its wingspan was as big as the dumpster, he said. And when you're 10 years old, I mean, everything looks really big, right? Mm-hmm. So even if it wasn't that big, but if it looked like a dinosaur, but he said that the two strange things, it said it had a long neck, and the wings had feathers. Oh. So that's very, but that's the only part that had feathers. No, that's the only part, the long neck and the feathers. Yeah. But he said the rest of its body, like its neck and its body,
that got electrocuted.
Was smooth, like scaly. That big of an owl?
Yeah.
That would be a huge owl.
Okay,
but yeah, he said it took up a lot of the barn, its wings. And he said they were watching it. And when they started coming by the barn, it flew off and was gone. And then I said, wow, that is an amazing story. I said, what did you do after that? He goes, we all spent the rest of the day inside. He goes, when my mom came to pick us up from her grandmother's, from the grandparents' house, him and his brothers, the friends lived in the area, I reckon, and walked home. But he said he told his mom about it. The three of them did. And she did not believe their story. And he says he's maybe only told one or two other people that story. So, this is such a strange story that I shared it with somebody that is kind of an expert. And her first explanation was that it was a dragon. Mm-hmm. And she says this area has a lot of dragons. So, it could have been. Mm-hmm. It could have been that they were lucky enough to see it because they don't make themselves seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So... they were lucky.
I know that person.
Yeah, they were lucky enough to let it be seen.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it was really, really interesting to me that time. And I was so glad that he opened up and shared. But it took, God, I have been seeing him at the transfer station for months, you know, and just having the stickers on my car and all that. And I told him I would share a story on the podcast, and he was okay with it, but he didn't want to come on the podcast. So, but he was nice enough to share a story and let me share it. So, a heck of a nice guy. I have no reason not to believe his stories. Like I said, he didn't want to share them with other people because he didn't want to be laughed at and ridiculed. But if there are people out there that would like to share their strange and unusual stories with us, please do. We would love to hear your stories. We won't make fun of you. We're non-biased.
Yuppers.
We can do interviews with you. If you don't want to use your name, you don't have to. Or just send us your story and we'll share it.
Yes.
All right. Anything to say in closing?
I'm itchy.
I know. It's gotten dark and now it's like, I'm itchy. It's been 12 days since our last episode. We're really slacking.
We are.
Sorry.
Sorry
guys.
We've been very busy.
We've been super busy. Ella, you had any closing words? Too many M's there. Remember, you can find us on Instagram. That's the Cryptids in Your Backyard. We also have a Facebook page. I very rarely post on the Facebook, so Instagram's the way to go. You can email us at thecryptidsinyourbackyard@mail.com.
Yes.
And that's it. Oh, we do have some stickers left. If anybody would like a sticker, please drop me a line and I can get some out to you. I'll send them out to you for free. You'll get more than one. Or if you want to trade stickers, just let me know.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, I guess we'll call it the evening. And until next time, everybody have a great week. Yep. And a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.